This is the Whole Hog Football Podcast, presented by Massage Envy, featuring interviews, analysis, and feature stories on Arkansas football. Now, from Fayetteville, here's your host, Seth Campbell.
The offseason is over. With a 2-10 season behind him, Chad Morris and the Razorbacks are looking ahead.
I've been in this exact spot before, and I know what it looks like, and I know what it looks like moving forward, and I know what it takes to move this program forward.
After bringing in a top 25 recruiting class, expectations and excitement are growing around the program.
The spirit of when it was a winning team and how it was, it's just, I feel that feeling this year, and I mean that.
But can Morris and the Hogs build on the recruiting momentum and gain some respect around the league?
Nobody's given little Arkansas any credit, and that's okay. You shouldn't. We got to earn it.
The road to redemption starts this Saturday at Razorback Stadium as the Hogs kick off against the Vikings from Portland State. Massage Envy has been voted the best day spa and best massage in all of Northwest Arkansas. Great therapists and estheticians go along with a new service that I am truly excited about. Rapid Tension Relief uses a special tool that will melt the tension and soreness away. Trust me, you will not be disappointed in the results. I highly recommend this feature along with a total body stretch assisted stretch program. Whether you are competing at a high level or just want to relax, these services are for everyone. Massage, rapid tension relief, total body stretch, deep muscle treatment massage, you choose. Or you can try any combination of those. So the next time you're feeling tight, make sure to call my friends at Massage Envy. On today's show, we'll take you into the depths of the quarterback battle between Nick Starkel and Ben Hicks. You'll also hear from DJ Shockley, former Georgia quarterback and SEC Network analyst, that will be calling the Hogs game versus the Vikings. Then we'll wrap it up with the most experienced Razorback roundtable out there, as Bob Holt, Tom Murphy, and Scotty Bordelon discuss expectations around the 2019 Razorbacks. And we're going to start today's podcast with a talk about the quarterbacks. Man, the quarterbacks have been the talk of the town this offseason, and well, for good reason. Head coach Chad Morris picked up two graduate transfer quarterbacks in SMU's Ben Hicks and Texas A&M's Nick Starkel. After spring and fall camps, it was announced that Hicks would be the starting quarterback for the Razorbacks' first game. Hicks said his teammates and the competition made him a better quarterback over the offseason.
You know, really excited, and I was appreciative of the guys pushing me this fall, and I think everybody was supportive of the decision, and we understand, and we'll move forward. I think I'm excited. So,
the quarterback battle was fierce, but Hicks said his experience will help him guide the younger players.
The main thing is I have a lot of experience, and you know, hopefully I can show the guys how things are done, and when things do get tough, that hey, it's gonna be okay, just bounce back, and everything will be fine. He's right. We do have a lot of young guys, and we're counting on a lot of young guys. So it's my job as a quarterback to, get them prepared for Saturdays and, keep them going when Saturdays do get tough at times.
According to the depth chart released by the university, it will be a completely new starting 11 on offense than from the first game last year. With all of that youth, Morris decided to go with Hicks under center.
I think Ben has an incredible command for everyone and where everyone should be. We're going to play a lot of young guys, and that alone was the main deciding factor, is his ability to know where everybody's supposed to be able to get our offensive line in the right protection and do it at a pace to where the game, because of his experience, is a little bit slower.
Hicks says he'll have some emotions before kickoff, but once the football is snapped, his experience will pay off.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I'll have some butterflies going into it, but once that first snap hits, I'll be fine. I'll settle in. Again, I played a lot of ball, so that experience is invaluable, and I'm gonna lean on that when things do get tough and we hit some adversity, and I'm gonna use that experience to help the guys as well.
The quarterback battle may be decided for game one, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's over. Stick with us here on the Whole Hog Sports Football Podcast, because coming up, we will have an interview with SEC Network analyst and former Georgia quarterback DJ Shockley.
Massage Envy, with clinics in Rogers and Fayetteville, has been awarded Northwest Arkansas's Best Day Spa and Best Massage. One of the reasons is our care for athletes, both serious and recreational. We now offer rapid tension relief sessions using a high-caliber vibrating tool and total body stretch sessions like the ones used by the PGA. Both of these new services can be combined with the always popular deep muscle treatment. So whether you compete or just want to relax, there is no place better than Massage Envy.
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Yeah, no, they're very talented. And they play hard. They kind of have an awkward scheme how they play, what their defensive structure is. But I think the thing you see on film is they play hard, and you know they're going to come out here and play hard on Saturday. So we got to match that intensity, and I think we will. I think we're prepared for that. So.
Welcome into the Whole Hog Sports Football Podcast. Seth Campbell joined alongside now DJ Shockley, former Georgia quarterback from 2002 to 2005. He led Georgia to an SEC championship game against victory over LSU in 2005. DJ, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, my pleasure, man. Appreciate you guys having me on to talk about the Hog.
Yeah, DJ will be doing will be a color analyst for the Arkansas versus Portland State game, 3 o'clock on the SEC Network. So, DJ, big news this week. Ben Hicks is named the starter for Arkansas going into game one. What do you see in Hicks' game that can make him that successful quarterback for the Razorbacks?
Well, you know, I think the number one thing is he's been in the system. And I think Coach Morris, you know, when him and Coach Craddock, when they had him at SMU, you knew what type of guy he was, and they knew the type of player he was. And when I sit back and I watch some of the tape on him, I just love the fact the way he throws the football. I love his athleticism. I love the fact that he's been and he's played and he has tons of experience. And I don't think coming into the SEC and playing this year, nothing will surprise this guy. And you look at the size of him, almost 220 pounds, but he's a senior, he's experienced, put up tons of numbers at his times at SMU. And I expect big things out of him, man. And I think from day one, the number one thing that when, you know, I listen to Coach Morris talk and you hear some of the intangibles, I think he kind of won over his teammates from day one. He kind of went in saying that you could see the leadership that he brought. He wasn't acting like a guy who had just got to the program, and a lot of guys really kind of followed him. And I think that's the number one thing you need from that position is a guy who can lead other guys. And I think Ben probably gives you that best option there. And I'm looking forward to watching him play on Saturday.
And you talk about Ben Hicks' experience as being a good plus for him, but kind of Nick Starkle almost has that in the same way because Starkle has experience in the SEC. So what do you think? I'm going to put you right here on the spot. Who do you think is the quarterback under center will go at the end of the season for the Razorbacks?
Ooh, man, that's a good one, man. You know what? I think you bring up a great point in the fact that Nick Starkle played in the SEC and he's had that time. You know what? Before Ben Hicks was named, I actually kind of thought Nick would win the job simply off he played in this league. He understands what it's like. He can understand the speed of the game, and he can adapt probably a little bit sooner than I thought Ben would coming, you know, from SMU and Nick having already done it. Nick was starting at Texas A&M, and, you know, if it wasn't for an injury, he would have been a starter there. But I think at the end of the year, I think the guy that gives you probably the best thing a chance to win will probably be big. Will be Ben Hicks. Obviously, I think he'll have his ups and downs. I think both QBs will play for sure. But I think at the end of the year, the senior-laden guy will come through and understand exactly what Coach Morris wants out of this system and find ways to make this offense obviously a lot better than it was last year.
So your time at Georgia, you kind of have a unique perspective that a lot of us don't have. You backed up David Green for a few years. Was there ever a quarterback battle between you two?
Yeah, man. You know what? There was a battle every year. Even though he was the starter, my freshman year when I came in, We were, you know, pretty much just battling back and forth. We were splitting time, series after series, two here, two there, things like that. And it's an interesting dynamic. And then once he finally was named a starter, and, you know, I still play, you know, throughout every single game, it's just hard when you have two guys playing that position. But I think for the most part, if those two guys understand the importance of playing together, they understand the importance of what's best for the team, and you try to make each other better, then the team will be better. And that's what made us so successful is we knew our role, but we always wanted the best for each other. And the same goes here for Ben and Nick. If they have that type of relationship going into this season, regardless of what happened throughout the year, and they stick together, this offense still can be successful.
You talk about knowing your role, which I think is very important for this team. So I guess the question is does Morris have to commit to a quarterback early and stay with him throughout the rest of the season so these guys will know their role?
Well, you know what? I don't think you have to certainly commit, because I think when I played, Coach Rick would always tell us exactly where we stood. So we knew our role, whether or not he told the media what the role was. The beach guy understands going into every week, okay, here's what's going to happen. You're going to play the third series of the game, or we're going to see how the Florida game goes. I think he has two junior and senior laden guys who have been around. They've done it. They understand what it's like to have to sit, or what it's like to have to, you know, play and have another guy behind you. If it's clear and concise what their role is and Coach Moore defines that for them, then I think it'll be just fine. Because a lot of times the media never knows what goes on behind those closed doors. That's kind of similar how it was when I played. But if both these guys understand their role and where they stand, then I don't think it'll be an issue.
DJ Shockley joining us is going to be the color analyst for the Arkansas versus Portland State game on SEC Network. All right, DJ, let's shift from behind the center and let's go out to the guys that are going to be catching the balls from those quarterbacks. Arkansas brought in four very talented wide receivers in this freshman class. Who do you think can stand out for them out of those four?
You know what? I look at those guys and I say, man, number one thing you look at about them is they're all big dudes, man. I'm talking about 6'3", 6'4", 6'5". Trey Knox is a guy 6'5", 205. TQ Jackson is 6'4", 197. I mean, Dalton Hyatt, 6'4", 197, sophomore. But you have some really, really big dudes on the outside who can possibly make a name for themselves. If there's one guy, I think probably Trey Knox has a good chance. He's one of those guys who has that size where you like him in the red zone, you like him to play outside. But I think whichever guy can adapt faster and get a chance to get up to speed, they got a good chance of making an impact on this offense.
Knox has been out the past, it's almost been a week now. They expect him to be back on Wednesday to practice. Does that worry you any?
You know what? If when you have a young guy that's been out like that, the better thing for those guys sometimes is to get the reps. And for him, the game can slow down where mentally you can catch up and understand where you are in offense. But as a young guy, that does get you kind of worried as well that they don't get the quality reps that you need. But I always say there's something to the size of 6'5". And – you know, whether it's this week or whether it's down the road, they're going to have a chance to see exactly what he's about, because that size is a little bit different to have to play against regardless of who you're playing against in the conference. So 6'5 is tough to teach, man, and I think by middle of the year, this guy should be a name that a lot of people will probably have a real understanding of if he continues to play or have that difference-maker ability that you think he can have.
Yeah, just take advantage of what his mama gave him, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Well, moving out to the tight end, C.J. O'Grady. He's regarded as one of the better tight ends in the SEC. They think that he could play in the league. What do you want to see him improve on this year?
Well, I had an Arkansas game a couple times last year, and when you watch him in space, you love things that he can do with his body. Obviously, he has good size. The other part of it is you just want to see him feel things a little bit more. What I mean by that, when you get into different zone coverages or you're playing man coverage, understand where the guy is up next to you. So I just want to see him when he has those times where, say, he's running an over route and he doesn't run into, say, the opposing defensive guy who's just sitting on the other side, throttle down a little bit, understand where you stand as far as the offense goes. But he's a talented dude. I mean, he's a guy that can make an impact. You can spread him out. You can put him at different spots, and he's going to be a matchup problem for a lot of people. But going into this season, you got to wonder, can he be the difference maker and be that kind of security blanket for Ben Hicks or Nick Stark or whoever's in there this year?
And you played against a John Chavis-led defense, as we shift to the other side of the ball, when you were at Georgia and he was at Tennessee. What do you expect to see from Chavis's defense here in his second year at Arkansas?
I did, and I did not like playing against his defenses because the major thing about his defense were they were creative sometimes in their blitzes. They were creative in how they disguised things, and I think one of the things that he wants, and, you know, just reading some of the clippings from what he's talking about from spring practice all the way up into a camp, is them just finishing. And you look at some stuff that happened to him last year, there were times where guys were letting up off the plays or guys weren't finishing through and weren't finding ways to get to the football if it was away from them. And I know he's stressing just energy, effort, consistency. I know that's big for him because his defense, all the ones I played against, they brought that. They brought that energy every time they played. And the creativity that he brings with his defense is something that I've kind of marveled at over the time. I didn't like it when I played against him. But obviously, when you have a couple guys on the other side like Bumper Poole and Dejon Harris who play a lot of football in this league, it makes it easier for a defensive coordinator like the Chief to call certain things and make sure guys are in their right spots.
Well, thanks so much, DJ, for joining us. DJ will be on the call, a color analyst for the Arkansas versus Portland State game, 3 o'clock on the SEC Network. DJ, great insight. Thanks so much.
Well, Jeff, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Well, don't go anywhere, because coming up next, we have the Roundtable with Scotty Borderline, Tom Murphy, and Bob Holt. You're listening to the Whole Hog Sports Football Podcast.
Massage Envy has been voted the best day spa and best massage in all of Northwest Arkansas. One reason is our great therapists and estheticians. Due to increased demand with our new services in both massage and skincare, Massage Envy is now looking for talented, licensed providers to join our great team. A competitive compensation package and family-like environment are just some of the reasons our providers have worked nearly 10 years with Massage Envy. Looking for a great career? Come by our clinics in Rogers or Fayetteville and apply today.
All right, so this is something that I've done since Pee Wee football, and it's not by choice. I throw up before every game because I get so like anxious. I'm so ready to go out, and I hate waiting in the locker room. As soon as we get in the locker room, I wish we could just dress and kick off. Like, no warm up, let's go. But the waiting, man, it kills me. So I'll end up throwing up in the locker room just because we're waiting.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Sports Football Podcast. Seth Campbell joining alongside Bob Holt, Tom Murphy, and Scotty Borderline. We're going to do a little bit of a round table action for you. The Hogs are getting set to play Portland State this upcoming weekend. And finally, guys, the Razorbacks have a quarterback. Chad Morris named Ben Hicks the starter for game one against Portland State. We'll start with you, Tom. What do you think about the decision?
Well, it wasn't a big shocker. On the sideline Saturday, there were some guys who we were standing near who just felt like it was going to be Ben Hicks. And even though late in camp, from the midway point or so on, it looked like Nick Starkel was gaining steam. And the decision was made basically, in my opinion, on things that we weren't privy to seeing in the open periods that the media had, which were how well Ben Hicks got everyone lined up, what the pre-snap checks look like, what the post-snap checks look like, what they talked about in the film room. And Chad Moore said that he felt he could get the receivers, the young receivers, aligned the best and do things after the snap that put Arkansas in the best position. I have little doubt that Nick Starkel's talents are going to be needed this year, and so I expect to see both of them in game one.
What about you, Bob?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, at least at the end of this day, Ben Hicks' experience with his coaching staff at SMU, his game experience, you know, he's played over 30 games. I think he has over 30 starts. The fact he was here in January, that all counted in his favor. And Starkel, I think, has made up a lot of ground. And I wouldn't be surprised if Starkel ends up starting at some point this season. But right now, you know, Ben Hicks is the guy.
Yeah, I think even back in the spring, you know, I kind of thought that Ben Hicks was going to be the guy just because he's got, you know, experience in the system. He's got system knowledge. And I think we maybe undersold that a little bit just because we thought Starco could come in. You know, he's probably got the talent advantage. Yeah. But, I mean, if you go by just like the what coaches were telling us after scrimmages and stuff, like it seemed like Starco was going to be the guy for a while. But like Tom said, like we just didn't get we don't see everything. So I think a big factor in obviously in Hicks getting the job is like they're planning on playing a lot of guys, especially a lot of young guys at the skill positions this weekend, and just being able to get them in the right positions, get them lined up where they're supposed to be. I think Hicks obviously can do that better than Starkle right now.
You know, when I first heard Starkle was transferring, I just felt like he had a lot of ground to catch up to, and that Hicks would obviously be the starter, but I think he did a lot of catching up, and it became a much closer run thing than we expected.
So that's the next question that I want to ask is Starkle came in and competed for the job, and a lot of us thought that just system knowledge and Hicks would run away with it, but he didn't. You know, there was a lot of people that in the media at least that thought that Starkle would be the game one starter. Do you see Starkle taking over that starting job by the end of the season, Scotty?
By the end of the season, yeah, I could definitely see it. I think we're going to find out a lot about what the coaches think of the quarterback situation going into week two, because that's when things start to get really serious. That's your first conference game. That's a game that really matters, and that could maybe – I know it's just week two, but that could – I mean, you could go downhill from week two if you have a bad performance, especially by your quarterbacks, or it could kind of catapult you in to the Colorado State game, San Jose State game, and then Texas A&M, which is a game that you've always – I feel like Arkansas is always just kind of tripped itself in. So, yeah, I mean, I think week one, I think both guys are going to play. It's going to be kind of an audition for Starkle, too. If he plays well, he could probably start in week two.
Notice how Scotty said tripped themselves in. So it's a direct reference to 2014 and the Dan Skipper play, which without that, I mean, that's a victory for the Razorbacks. But anyway, when you watch them on the field, Nick Starkle's passes are prettier. There's tighter spirals. He throws the ball with less, you know, it seems effortless when he throws deep, long passes. And so they're going to need that during the course of this year. Mm-hmm. And I just think that in athleticism standpoint, that they're both probably about the same mobility, because the quarterback in this offense is at some point is going to need to run the ball, and Hicks might have a little bit more mobility. But to me, it was a very close battle. And I see where it's not the ideal situation, but I see where you use both guys in game one and you might use both guys in game two. And then you got like a two-week period of games you should win, and then you have to kind of recalibrate, and the A&M game becomes the game, I think, where you wind up with your guy for the rest of the season.
What do you think, Bob?
Yeah, I guess the fact they played Ole Miss in game two is part of the reason I thought Starkle might start game one, because I think they're going to beat Portland State. They better, no matter who starts, you know, that game. And then I would have thought Starkle might have given him a better chance to win at Ole Miss. But, I mean, these coaches are paid a lot of money. It's their job to win games, so I got to believe they feel like Ben Hicks gives them the best chance to win right now.
All right, getting off of the quarterbacks, let's go to just overall. The offseason has been long. Like, there's no joke about it. And we only, in the media, we only get to see about 20 minutes of practice, and a lot of the times we just don't get to see what we want to see. So who or what are you most excited to see in this first game against Portland State, Bob?
I guess I'm excited to see those freshman receivers. Traylon Burks has been, you know, we've seen on some video that the UA puts out that we don't get to see in person. We've seen some circus catches. The coaches really raved about him. I think after the second scrimmage, it was somebody asked Joe Craddock about the ceiling for Burks, and he said, I don't think the guy has a ceiling. And then hopefully Trey Knox will feel better enough to where he can play it. But I really want to see those freshman receivers in game situations.
All right, Scotty, what do you think?
Yeah, Bob took my freshman receivers answer, but I'll go with the secondary. I think there's a lot of youth in that back end, and Cam Curl is your veteran, and he's just a junior. So I think Buster Brown, Jarquez McClellan, those guys I think are definitely improved from last year, but they're still young. Both of them kind of got their feet wet a little bit last year, and I'm a big fan of Joe Fouché. I talked to him in the spring. He thinks he's ready for a breakout year. He's playing with a lot of confidence. The game's really slowed down for him a little bit, and so he's playing more instinctively, And he's using his athleticism, I think, to go make some plays. So I think that's probably what I'm going to be looking at most in week one, just to see how those young defensive backs, just kind of see how they hold up.
Well, those are the two most obvious to me areas that you look at, because the excitement the receivers bring, and then the newness, and possibly excitement that the DBs bring. I'm going to talk about a few things. Both of those to me are very important, but the defensive ends, those guys are going to be so key, and John Chavis talked about it the other day. They've got to hold up against the run to start with, and then they've got to in some way impact quarterbacks, because if quarterbacks are comfortable and they're not having to move, they're not having to bring their eyes down to the rush, then they have a chance to tear up a young secondary. But if these ends, with the help obviously in the middle of Agim and Smith, who as seniors, they're strong guys, they should be able to, you know, get some stalemates and tie up blockers. But the ends, talking about Gabe Richardson, talking about Dorian Gerald, talking about Jamario Bell, the three seniors, and then the young guys led by Soli, Eric Gregory, Zach Williams, have to do something in games that gets quarterbacks off their mark and off their rhythm. And if they can do that, that's another one of the steps that's going to be in place for the Arkansas defense to show improvement.
All right, let's move on to C.J. O'Grady. He's had a tumultuous offseason, to say, I think would be the least to say. He starts the camp with a third string, then he's injured. What are you expecting out of O'Grady this season, Tom?
I'm expecting a similar year to last year, 6 touchdowns, if not better, because he might not play a lot against Portland State. He might not play at all. But the guy's got great talent, and what we've seen from this offense is the quarterbacks are comfortable hitting the tight ends, and O'Grady's a guy who can beat man coverage. I mean, he can beat linebackers, he can beat safeties, he can make catches that are contested. And true, he's had a lot of off-the-field issues, and I like to talk to him. I talked to him on Media Day this year, and he's well-spoken. He says all the right things, and when he comes back, I think you're going to see a deep tight end core, and I think you're going to see an O'Grady that understands that the scouts are watching him, the general managers in the NFL, and this is his time to turn it around, both on the field and off the field.
What do you think, Bob?
Well, I think he's a great talent, definitely an NFL talent. He strikes me as the kind of guy that just when you think he's turned a corner, that the maturity has really kicked in, then something happens. We don't exactly know the circumstances, but there's a reason, you know, Chad Morse puts him on the third team, or there's a reason he gets suspended for a few games. And you really thought he had that out of him, and maybe he does now. We'll see what happens. But there's no doubt he has talent, but to me he just has to prove that he can consistently do what they want him to do so he doesn't get in the doghouse.
Yeah, I remember this interview, I think it was with Austin Cantrell last fall, after kind of O'Grady kind of broke out, I think it was against Texas A&M, and I think I asked Cantrell, I said, do you feel like O'Grady's kind of turning a corner now? And Cantrell said, I think he is. I think he's kind of taking more of a, like making more of an obtuse angle. And so, like, I don't know. I think that kind of characterizes where he is a little bit. Definitely a pro talent, like Bob and Tom said. And I kind of expect him to have a similar year to last year, but I think he does know, and he is made very well aware by the coaches that a lot of eyes are on him, and he's got to go be productive on the field, and he's got to lead the tight ends room.
Yeah, that was a great anecdote you told, and also he was running some first team too when
right.
And he dropped down to third.
Yeah,
team
he did. He did. I feel like respond pretty well from what we were told after that first week when he was running with the threes.
Yeah, and then he had that injury, so it's going to be interesting to see him bounce back. But we've gone position by position almost throughout the entire offense. So one guy that we've kind of left out but might be the most experienced group on the offensive side of the ball is the running backs. Rakeem Boyd is named the starter this week, but Devwall Whaley coming into his senior year. Who do you think is going to be the bell cow for the Razorbacks in the backfield this year, Scotty?
Without a doubt, it's Rakeem. And I remember when right after Rakeem signed with Arkansas, you know, for Hogs Illustrated, we do a recruiting issue. And one of the numbers I was given to call to get a quote from their coach was Jason Brown at Independence. And so I called him, not knowing who Jason Brown was at the time, and he said that he's put 27 guys in the NFL, and Rakeem is as good as any of those guys, if not better. And that was, gosh, what was that, spring 2018, yeah. I guess? So, yeah, and it, I mean, he showed us nothing last year that makes me think any difference. I think Rakeem's going to have a big year.
That's nice. And his breakout part in the middle of the season, once he kind of had the offense down, and, I mean, Devoy had the huge game against Colorado State, and if they had been able to lean on the run game some in the second half, they probably wouldn't have won that game. But when Boyd broke out and had 3 out of 4 100-yard games, one against Alabama, you could see the talent, man. He's got some speed. He's got a little bit of wiggle to him, but he can run through tacklers. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. But I also see them mixing things up because those dudes, their ankles are going to be hurting, their shoulders are going to be hurting. They just take their dings, and it's a good thing to have. I'd like to see Whaley get plenty of chances, and I'd really like to see Chase Hayden get the ball because when he was a freshman, he had a few games where you're like, oh, wow, this solid. Kid's got great talent and breakaway speed. And then, like the A&M game and the Auburn game, he did some stuff that you're thinking this guy's going to amount to something. So it's a good problem for Jeff Traylor, good depth at running back.
What do you think, Bob?
Yeah, I agree with these guys. I mean, without question, Boyd's the best running back. He's one of the best running backs in the league. If he played for Alabama – he'd probably be, you know, first-team All-SEC or something. But you think about him coming in last year, and he got here just when camp was starting, and we found out, you know, later that he was playing with, you know, a pretty bad shoulder, and he still was as productive as he was. So now that he's had all this time in the system, he's healthy, you feel like he really ought to be something. And then also, he's not going to have to hopefully carry the ball, you know, 25 times every game because they've got some good depth. So, you know, they can use them when they need to, but they don't have to wear them out, hopefully.
And I think something else, like, Rakeem's a guy that last year when he got here, and he had zero idea what to do on any given play when he walked into the line of scrimmage. Like, quarterbacks would have to tell him what his assignment was, what his read was,
right,
what he was doing. And he's been here a year. I think he's a lot more comfortable. So he'll be fine.
All right, guys, we're going to play a little numbers game here. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, we're going to go to the one part we really haven't talked about, the offensive line on the offensive side of the ball. What is your confidence level in the offensive line this year, Bob?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm going to say a 5, which
right in the middle.
Might seem low to people, but, you know, obviously they have better numbers there. They have better depth. But I think the fact they have two true freshmen as backups and a junior college transfer, I think Myron Cunningham is very talented, and they didn't bring him in here, you know, not to play. And Dustin Fry said even before camp started, hey, that guy's too good to be standing over there holding his helmet. But, you know, I think they could be better than last year, but you look at Yelta Froehl, what he's doing with the Patriots. I mean, they lost a pretty good guy. They don't have anybody like that. It helps that Colton Jackson's healthy, but I think there's some potential there, but I still have a lot of question marks.
What do you think, Scotty?
Yeah, I'm kind of with Bob. I think I might go with a 6. I like Dalton Wagner a lot at right tackle and Cunningham on the right side. I think your right side's probably the strength, I would say. Colton Jackson, I think, is your leader. But if he stays healthy, you probably feel good about the left side too. But if he's not, Cunningham will slide over to left tackle, and then probably who Shane Clinton might move in at right guard, or Stromberg probably, Ricky Stromberg. You know, Joe Craddock and Chad Morris have raved about him. So, yeah, I'd probably go with a 5 or a 6 somewhere in there. I'm just kind of iffy right now. Just until I see them, just want to see if they'll be able to keep the quarterbacks on their feet and be able to get good push in the run game.
Yeah, they're gonna have to prove themselves more. The first number that popped into my head before Bob answered was 5. So go right there with Bob. I had a thought this morning. One of the first things I thought when I woke up today, I don't know why, but I was thinking about Auburn's defensive line, and I was thinking, match this Arkansas O-line against Auburn's D-line, and it's a win for the Tigers. And so that's what they're going to be up against in conference play, not week in and week out, but doggone close. Mm-hmm. They've just got to get better. They've got to hold their block. They've got to just get stalemates a little bit longer, get a 3-second stalemate here and there. You don't always have to move the guys, but sometimes they do want to move the guys. And they just got to be, you know, a little bit more physical in the run game, and then – They're probably going to need a little help sometimes in the pass game. But I do think they're going to make a step forward. Clearly the depth helps them. A shame about Noah Gatlin, because I do think they would have been able to swap out him and Dalton Wagner at right tackle. They really like Noah Gatlin. So Myron Cunningham is definitely going to have to play a role. And then just the guys like Capps, second year as an O-lineman, have to be better. Colton Jackson, who's hopefully healthy when he gets over his foot. And then Ty Clary, the veterans, just need to be a little bit better. And I think Clary, his snaps are going to be cleaner, and I think he's going to be a little bit more of a physical presence, a little bit more of a vocal leader is going to help him out there.
So let's flip over to the other side of the ball. Earlier in the podcast, we talked to DJ Shockley, former Georgia quarterback, and he was talking about Chavis when he was at Georgia and Chavis was at Tennessee. He was talking about how he genuinely didn't like to go up against Chavis in a Chavis-led defense. In Chavis's second year at Arkansas, what are you expecting to see from them, Tom?
Well, they're going to play faster because they know the scheme better. That's the first thing that I think of. I think he and Scooter Harris are like on the same page. I think Scooter Harris is going to be just as well against the run as he did last year. I think he's going to be a better pass defender. I think he's going to drop into his zones and affect the passing game more. They're going to have to be creative when it comes to blitzing, sending extra men, and that's one thing he's good at. A lot of times in the Brett Bielema era, they sent extra men, and they got close, but they didn't always hit home, and quarterbacks eluded them and made plays. So they got to be successful when they bring extra guys. They got to protect that back end a little bit. And so they've got to be better tacklers. And I think overall they were 79th in total defense. I'm thinking that number is going to be in the 50s this year. And I think it's going to be just past the halfway mark in the rating in the SEC among SEC defenses. I think they're going to get a few more turnovers.
What do you think, Bob?
Yeah, I agree. I think they will get more turnovers because you like that defensive line is going to start four seniors. You know, a game, he could play for anybody in the country. And I have T.J. Smith's a very solid guy. And they finally talk about having some linebacker depth. I know that's been an issue we've talked about for 4 or 5 years or whatever it's been. I think those guys, like a guy like Scooter Harris, and he could play for anybody in the country too, he'll be that much more effective if he's playing, you know, 50 snaps instead of 70 snaps. So I think they'll be improved second year, John Chavis, and get more turnovers, which this offense really needs for shorter fields.
Yeah, not to sound like one of the players in a post-game press conference, but they pretty much nailed it, I think. I think they'll play faster just because they're a little bit more comfortable in the scheme. And Chavis has talked about like you grow more comfortable. It's kind of like what I said with Joe Fouché. Like you grow more comfortable. You play a little bit more instinctively. And you kind of make things happen. You fly around. There's be a lot of flying around on Saturday. I figure they'll come away with some more turnovers, and we'll see if the linebacker depth holds up. Chavis said that he feels pretty comfortable with the depth if they stay healthy, but that's a pretty big if.
Right. All right. Portland State's coming in, FCS team. Everybody is expecting Arkansas to win, and they, you know, a lot of people want them to win by a large, large margin. What should be one thing that everybody should watch against Portland State in the first game of the year this year, Scotty? One thing to watch versus Portland State.
I don't know. I'm going to be looking for just to see if the offensive line can keep the quarterbacks on their feet. And see if you know, Arkansas ran for, what, like 83 yards in the opener last year? Like, that was pretty pitiful. Especially against a team like Eastern Illinois. But, yeah, I think I'm going to be looking to see if they can keep a clean pocket, keep the quarterback on their feet, and you know, see if they can get like 125, 150 rushing yards. Like, I think that might be a good week one goal.
It's funny. I was going to bring up the rush game. Be a better rush team. Because it was shocking how badly they ran the ball against Eastern. I mean, it was not good. And so I want to see them be a better rush team, like establish the rush. Which they really did not do against Eastern Illinois. And second thing, I think they got burned deep twice, maybe three
times. Shevin Callaway.
So even though they got five turnovers in that game, they got beat over the top by a good receiver twice. So do they stop that in this game, and do they establish a run game?
What do you think?
Yeah, I want to look at both, you know, the trenches on both sides of the ball. You know, their offensive line should dominate. Their defensive line should dominate. If they can't dominate Portland State at the line of scrimmage, then – you have to wonder, you know, how are they going to do in the SEC? Not that Ole Miss has the greatest, you know, lines. It's like they have to play Alabama in week two. But I think that I want to see if they can dominate on both sides of the ball against an opponent they should dominate physically.
All right, last question here, guys, as we wrap up the roundtable here on the Whole Hog Sports Football Podcast. I'm going to put you on the spot. One word to describe the Razorback season. What is going to be your one word? We'll start with Bob. He looks intent.
I'll say better.
That's fair. That's fair. All right, Scotty.
I honestly have no idea.
Five words, Scotty.
I don't know that I got anything for you, man. Like, maybe.
Maybe. Like,
maybe. Maybe. Maybe they'll go to a bowl. Maybe they won't. Maybe we'll know who the starting quarterback is from early in the year. Maybe we won't. But maybe they'll be better defensively. Maybe they'll be able to stop the run a little better. Maybe. I don't know.
A lot of question marks coming over
there
from Mr. Gordon.
Yeah, tons of question marks, yeah.
You didn't have every ready to go. I'm going to go, and I'm not making light of that. I thought it was a good off-season, you know, encouragement thing. I'm going to say improving, okay? Now, is that improving good enough to win two conference games? Because we all know you got to get two conference games to go to a bowl. So improving. I want to see improvement, like Bob said. Dominate the trenches against teams that you should. Establish a run game in a lot of games. Have a game plan. I credit Chad Morris and his staff for this last year. They had a game plan against Alabama. Okay, admittedly, Alabama came into this game, knew they were going to win, and might not have had their A mentality going. But Arkansas established a plan. They threw to their tight ends, they threw to their backs, and they moved the ball in that game, and they scored points. Have a plan, improve, and that's what I want to see this year.
All right, thanks so much, guys, for joining us here on the Whole Hog Sports Football Podcast. As Scotty Bordelon, Tom Murphy, and Bob Holt, you can check them out online at wholehogsports.com or in the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. The Whole Hog Sports Football Podcast is produced and edited for Airship by me, Seth Campbell. Special shout-outs to DJ Shockley, Tom Murphy, Bob Holt, and Scotty Bordelon. You can see DJ on the SEC Network this Saturday as he calls the Razorbacks game versus Portland State. You can read more from Scotty, Bob, and Tom on wholehogsports.com. Thank you to our sponsor, Massage Envy. By supporting them, you are supporting us. Theme music is by Silent Partners. I'm Seth Campbell for Whole Hog Sports. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you back here next week.